right. Well, good evening to you. It's so good to be back with you, as Pastor said, on a Thursday night, no less. That's wonderful. You get extra spiritual brownie points on Thursday night. In all seriousness, it's good to be back with you. And hopefully you had some sort of job or responsibility today that didn't take you out into the heat too much. We did a little bit of grocery shopping today, and just walking through the parking lot was pretty warm. And but we did get the you have a couple car washes around, so we got a cheap car wash, and for a few moments the temperature gauge read 67 degrees because it had water on it. Right? It was a lie, a filthy lie. But anyway, we had some things to do today, and thank you for spending of your time to be here tonight. I know there's plenty of other things you could do, but it rejoices our hearts, and we trust this evening will be a real blessing to you. It's going to be something unique this evening, and I can't wait to get to it. But I do want to do some music for you. Of course, if you're visiting tonight, good to meet good folks up from Wichita. It is up, right? Wichita is straight is due south, right? So you're up from Wichita. I said it correct. Okay, good. Good, good, good. And I've said Salina. I've not said it wrong. Not yet. So I've been working on that too. And I know three names, Brother Terry, Brother Scott, Brother Jacob. I know Pastor and his wife, but and such. I'm working on it. Maybe by the end of the week. No, I won't know everybody's name by the end of the week. But anyway, I'm going to ask my wife to come. She's going to open us up with a solo tonight. Of course, if you're able to come tomorrow night, we're going to do a full concert for you. And I got to tell you, especially when we have guests coming, I always feel bad that I don't do more music on the non-concert nights. Because then it's, oh man, they came all this way and I want to sing more music. But tomorrow night is dedicated 100% to music, the whole hour. And, of course, the sermon, yeah, tonight is a unique one. Yeah, it's a unique one. So Amanda preaches it really well. And that's a joke. I'm just teasing with you a little bit. But anyway, this is a song all about what it's like, that moment of time when we trust the Lord. Time, salvation, we trust the Lord. I hope tonight, I know it's a Thursday night crowd, but I hope tonight that whether you're watching online or you're here with us, that you've had a time in your life and you trusted the Lord. It's not about going to a church, not about doing good things. It's not about being a good person, because none of us can ever be good enough to merit eternity. But it's about trusting Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection makes all the difference. I'm going to sing one here tonight, and then we'll have the family come. And this is one that it's one of my favorites that I love to sing just about everywhere that we go. Now, if you came tonight want me to do an a cappella song, a cappella's tomorrow. See, I know I feel terrible. One-man quartet stuff, I'm going to do that tomorrow, okay? And pastor's asked for something special, and we're going to certainly do that tomorrow night. This song is designed to really encourage your heart, and I hope that it will. It was late Sunday night, the car door closed softly, footsteps came up the stairs. Young Pastor Tony met his wife at the entrance, his face lined with a thousand cares. We've been here 2 years and nothing's changed. These people won't listen at all. I'm out of answers, and I'm feeling small. But as he read in the Bible, page after page, his heart was convinced to stay in the race. He knelt by his desk, then lay on the floor. Though I don't understand what it's for, I'll trust one day more. I'll pray again, I'll kneel again, I'll knock on the door, ask Him for more. Strength for the fight, peace in the night, trusting by faith, the answer He'll say. I'll pray again. At a 2:15, again in the morning, a mother wakes up again. Her youngest daughter has a special condition. They say that she won't pass 10. The worry's so great and nothing's changed. Does God understand us at all? We're out of answers and we're feeling small. But as she read in the Bible, page after page, the comfort came in right along with grace. Her hand held her daughter and they knelt on the floor. Though we don't understand what it's for, we'll trust one day more. We'll pray again, we'll kneel again, we'll knock on the door. Darkness surrounds you, and God seems so silent, your back's against the wall. You may be tempted to doubt God's goodness. It feels like He won't hear your call. The questions take shape and cloud your mind. Is God in control after all? My life's out of balance and I'm going to fall. But if you'll read in the Bible, page after page, you'll see that He's there and He'll never forsake. Surrender your life is all you must do. You'll begin to see God's point of view. He's there to change you. Go pray again. Go kneel again. Go knock on the door. Ask Him for more. Strength for the fight. He's in the night. Trusting by faith, the answer He'll send. Go pray again. It's so important that we take everything to the Lord in prayer, amen? And we have that high priest. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, not just because He's God, but also because He walked in our shoes. He put on humanness and dwelt among us. What a God we serve. What a Savior we have. Well, one more song here tonight, and this is one that I wrote a number of years ago, expressing a heart desire to see God revive us again. In fact, that's the name of it, O Lord, Revive Us.
Stories and were told of how God worked in times of old. David and Daniel saw your hand moving in power throughout the land. True as these must be, we still long to see saving of souls, churches on fire. Living the truth, our greatest desire. God stepping down, changing us now. Doing a work inside us. Oh Lord, revive us.
God, the beginning and the end. God, Creator. And my friend, not by our might nor by our power to send revival in this hour. We must humbly pray, forsake our sins and pray.
Saving of souls, churches on fire, living the truth, our greatest desire. God stepping down, changing us now, doing a work inside us.
Grab your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight. Turn to the book of Ephesians. I forgot to talk to Pastor about this tonight. Is it okay to do the offertory at the end? Is that cool? Awesome. That will be fine. Before I forget, what's a favorite hymn? Anybody got a favorite hymn? Blessed Assurance, that's a great one. A couple more. Come Thou Fount. Amen, amen. Be Thou My Vision, good. And someone said one other. I Surrender All, that's good too. All right, I'll keep these in mind. I'll keep these in mind. Ephesians chapter number 5. I hope that our ministry has been a blessing to you. We do have our CD table in the back. And I did want to make mention of a couple of resources. We have a message on music back there on DVD called The Power of Music. And if you like tonight's message, this happens to be what I'm preaching tonight. So if you like it, this is back on the back table. And then I did write a book about fusses, fights, and funerals. Does that sound familiar? Fusses, fights, and funerals as applied to the music issue. All right, so this is in book format. If that would be a blessing to you, that will be in the back after the service. All right, go to verse number 30. Ephesians chapter, I'm sorry, let me turn the page here. Everybody ready? I love preaching this message because I think we can not only have a lot of fun with it, I think we can learn a lot to help each other with this. In fact, let's go back to verse number 10. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, we have a responsibility to be in testing mode. How many of you have ever heard it when someone says, judge not? You're not supposed to judge. You're judgy. You realize that that's actually taking stuff out of context? Does the Bible say there is no God? You say, of course it doesn't say that. Yeah, it does. I can prove it. In the book of Proverbs, in fact, it says there is no God. Yeah, I'm leaving out part of the verse, aren't I? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, well, you're leaving out an important part. Same thing with judge not, right? Jesus says judge not. Yeah, you read the rest of the chapter. There's a whole lot more context there. In fact, we're supposed to prove, we're supposed to test to see what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, I'm grateful for that because it doesn't come down to proving what is acceptable unto me. It's not proving what is acceptable unto Pastor. It's not proving what is acceptable unto somebody else. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I like that. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Keep going. Let's go down to verse number 18, where he starts talking about, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, there's an inverse relationship between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with spirits. It's another name for alcohol, isn't it? Right? It's kind of an old term, but it's the same type of thing. You cannot be under the control of two things at the same time. Only one person can sit in the driver's seat. And it's either going to be the Holy Spirit, it's going to be alcohol, maybe something else. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, semicolon, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In fact, there's a semicolon there too, because he keeps going on with his thoughts here. But I want to point out that an outflow of a Spirit-filled life is music. Music can be such a touchy subject. How many of you would agree with me? Absolutely. It can be such a touchy subject. It can be something that can really bother people. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We'll talk about reasons why it is that way. But I think that last night, for those of you who weren't here, I'm not going to re-preach the message, but I will review very quickly. I believe that the Bible teaches there are three categories of issues or discussions in our life. There are funerals. Those are fundamentals of the faith. Those are vitally important things that we simply cannot compromise on and we ought to be willing to give our lives for. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ was and is and continues to be fully God, fully man. He rose bodily from the grave. He was virgin born. It's more than just the plan of salvation we talked about when the Bible talks about the gospel. It's more than just the plan of salvation. It's everything connected to that. Funerals. Then there's the middle category called fights. Fights are important things, but perhaps you wouldn't die over them. Maybe that might be a mode of baptism. Now, I personally am a Baptist, all right? I think that's correct in doctrine, right? We believe in baptism by immersion. That doesn't mean I only go to churches that have Baptists in their name. Some of you probably figured that out, right? But we're Baptistic, okay? So, but that doesn't mean that people can't get saved unless they agree with me on baptism. Now, Pastor brought up to me last night something really important. I thought it was very true. And that is, some people can actually mix baptism in with what they think saves them. And now you're messing with the gospel, aren't you? So baptism can end up becoming an issue over here, where if it starts confusing what the gospel is, where no, you're not saved by trusting Christ and being baptized. No. But as far as mode of baptism, that's very important. I think the Scripture is very clear, but I understand. There might be some that would disagree, that can be wrong, that's okay. But there are other categories. We talked about prayer, we talked about discipleship, some other things that fit into this category here. A lot of things that have to do with Christian growth would fit into this category. Then, of course, over here, there's a category I call funerals. I mean, funerals is over there. Funerals, fights, and now fusses. Fusses are things that simply aren't important. Well, how does music fit into this? Well, I want to leave with you four observations tonight that can help us with this, all right? Four observations. Now, for those of you who are detail-oriented, the first three observations are going to kind of match each other in format. The fourth will not. So I'm warning you in advance, if you're a detail-oriented person, the fourth observation will not match in format, okay? If you have a suggestion after the evening on how I can make it match the format, I'd be glad to. But I'm just warning you. Let's hit the first one. Go to 1 Samuel, if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We don't draw our primary doctrine from the Old Testament because there's differences between what was going on with the nation of Israel and the church age, etc. But we do see some basic principles that we can apply. Such is the case here in 1 Samuel 16. Saul has turned his back on God. That's King Saul. And now he's having all kinds of trouble. He's having all kinds of issues. And we see that his servants want him to be better. Now, I would want, if my boss had the ability to say off with his head, I would want my boss to be happy. So they're very motivated to help their boss get better. So they think, hey, let's find a musician. Wow. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Does anyone want to guess who this is that they find? Who? You're absolutely right. You get the prize. David. Verse 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I want you to see tonight, first of all, music has physical power. Music has physical power. I'd like everybody to do something with me if you can. We're going to take a deep breath in a moment, and we'll hold it and then let it out, okay? Here we go. You ready? Let's take a deep breath in. In. Out. Is that relaxing? In fact, if we do that too many more times, some of you will probably fall asleep, right? some of you busy parents, mothers and such, with youngins, you'll probably fall right asleep. We do that too much longer. That's the word behind Saul. The Bible saying Saul was refreshed. It means to breathe freely. Sometimes we get worried. Sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes we get all, you know, tight and just like this, right? And it feels like you can't breathe very well. That's how Saul was. After David played the music had a physical reaction from Saul. You know, this shouldn't surprise us really, because you realize that music at its core is physical anyway. I am kind of a, well, let me go down to the piano here. Some of you are having a physical reaction to that right now. Maybe I'll play that for the offertory. Right? Now it doesn't sound very good, right? Okay, you're having a physical reaction. Of course, I'm not really playing music, but I am playing sound. Sound has to have a medium to vibrate through. I am a little bit of a sci-fi fan. And so, you know, you watch spaceships in outer space in a movie or a show or something like that, and they're getting ready to blast into hyperspace or warp drive, or depending on your genre of choice. All right? But it sounds something kind of like this. Is that pretty good? It's probably as good as I can imitate here, right? You know, what would it sound like if you really had a spaceship in outer space that was getting ready to take off? It would sound like this. Get ready. Just like that. You know why? Someone tell me. Yeah, someone here is saying different versions of the same thing. There's no air in space. There's nothing for the sound to vibrate through. Just be dead quiet. Sound is physical. It needs something to vibrate through. When I hit these keys, right, it activates a hammer on the inside. That little hammer will hit the cable that's inside of the piano, causing it to vibrate. And then there's a sounding board underneath the piano that helps it get louder. I've got this open so it's even louder. And then it vibrates off the wood and into the air. The air carries it to our ears. Sound at its very base is physical. Well, music is sound, right? Music is not, you know, pulling out a hymn book and saying, hey, let me read the music. Well, we call it that, but it's really sheet music. It's really a representation to help people create music, right? Music is something that is physical in nature, first and foremost. And let me tell you something, that doesn't automatically mean it's evil. There's something called asceticism, which taught, this was a heresy that even started affecting the early church, where they started teaching in the early church that anything involved with the body was automatically sinful. And in other words, you know, that's where the idea came from, you know, hurting yourself makes you more spiritual. This idea that the body is inherently sinful. Well, that's a misunderstanding of the word flesh in Scripture. The sin nature is wrong, but it's not wrong to have a body. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus have a body? Yes, he did. Did Jesus sin? No, he didn't. So it's not wrong to have a body. And I think this is really important, because with people that I talk with that are very concerned about the issue of music and very, very conservative in things, which I'm certainly not against, you'll find out tonight. But I want to make sure that we believe the things we believe for the right reasons. Some people will say, well, you know, you can't ever listen to music that appeals to the body. Depends on what you mean by body. Right? Well, it shouldn't appeal to the flesh. What do you mean by flesh? Is it wrong to lift weights? I don't think so. Some of you are making weird faces at me. I don't think so either. Okay? That's a physical thing. It's not wrong to walk places, to go to Walmart, to go to, where were we today? Dillard's or Dillon? Dillon's? Does that sound right? Okay. It's really scripted. It's like, and I'm like, okay, we're going there. Okay? And I think it's a like Kroger. I think it's part of that line, etc. So we used the gift card today. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And picked up some things, including some Diet A&W root beer. Amen. Amen. All right. You know, to have a body is not wrong. How you use it determines right or wrong, correct? I'm a big college football fan. I happen to be a Michigan State Spartan. All right, my parents met there. My dad used to chart the halftime shows for the marching band. He was president of the Michigan State University Spartan Marching Band. And I grew up going back to MSU for alumni band day for my dad. And let me tell you, when you've got almost 1,000 marching band musicians because of alumni day and all that, and they're on their way, they're marching to the stadium, and it's just, it gets you charged up, man. I was ready to jump into that stadium myself. Does that mean it's a sin and it's wrong? No. Do you realize Paul used all kinds of athletic terminology? He didn't consider wrestling wrong, for example. Remember that, okay? Music is physical first and foremost, not foremost, but it affects us physically first. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong. We just have to be conscious of how it's affecting us. Right? But he goes on. Not only does the Bible say Saul was refreshed, which means to breathe freely, but the next part of that says, and was well. This is talking about emotional stability. Here's a junior high girl, and school is done for the day, and she jumps off the bus, and she runs home into the front door, and her mom says, "Welcome home from school, honey," and she doesn't say anything. She just goes, and she runs into her room, and she takes all her books and throws them on the floor, and now the tears are coming because she had a really bad day, and the teachers didn't like her, and Johnny doesn't like her anymore, and she doesn't have any friends and all this stuff, and so she throws herself on her bed, and it used to be headphones. Nowadays, it's earbuds, right? She puts on her earbuds and turns on the music. I gave that illustration one time, and there was a junior high boy sitting in the front. He's like, "I did that yesterday." I said, "Well, I was kind of picking on the girls, but I guess if you did that yesterday too, I guess that happens, right?" She plugged into music. Why is music like that? Because number two, I want you to see music has emotional power. In fact, music has the potential to wrap itself around our hearts, right? That's why it's such a touchy issue, because if someone attacks your music, they're not attacking something out there. They're attacking something in here. In fact, this is jumping the gun a little bit from a different session, but I want to throw this in here right now. There are some people that say that music is like meat offered to idols, right? In fact, we touched on that. That's a fuss, right? That's a fuss, whether or not the meat was offered to idols or not. Let me ask you a question. What did Jesus say? If you can look this up if you want. Jesus said something about meat. He said it goes in the mouth and it gets digested and then, you know, it comes out. Right? That's what Jesus said. So when you eat meat, it doesn't end up, I mean, it goes to your stomach, right? Where does music end up? It doesn't end up in your stomach. Well, it goes in your ear. Well, yeah, I guess. I would venture to say it ends up in our hearts. Don't believe anyone who tries to pull a fast one on you, and I've heard it a lot. They try to pull a fast one and say that music is like meat offered to idols. So, you know, well, if it offends you, I won't do it. But, you know, there's no meaning behind it. It's just like meat. It doesn't matter. It does matter, because if it didn't, then we wouldn't fight about it. Right? Yeah, it wraps itself around our hearts. It's emotional. Music has emotional power. Let's say you're at the beach. I know Kansas is a little ways away from the ocean. Well, let's say you're on vacation. Maybe you come down to visit us down in Pensacola, Florida. And you bring some kids. We've got a lot of kids here. That's wonderful. And you're watching them out, you know, play in the waves a little bit. It's just a beautiful day. And as they're out there playing in the waves, you hear this. Get out of the water! Why would you do that? Well, there's a couple reasons, right? One is that, all of a sudden you're thinking about a lot of teeth, right? That's from a soundtrack to a movie that was done in the mid-1970s that I'm not necessarily recommending you understand, but it's from a movie called Jaws. I remember, maybe some of you remember this. Did you ever sneak out of your bedroom at night to watch over your shoulder of your parents when you were supposed to be sleeping? We were on vacation. I don't think I've ever told this story, but have I? I probably told you. But we were on vacation and we had these cottages, and it was 1980 or 81, and I was born in 77, so I had to have been 3 or 4 years old. But I was supposed to be in bed, and I was constantly getting up out of bed. I didn't want to go to bed, right? I had too many things to do. I still feel that way. There's too many things to do. Anyway, I remember getting up and watching. My parents were just watching a movie over the airwaves. They used to censor stuff, right? So if something came on television, it would be censored for television, you know, and they would clean up some things. Just saying that back in 1980. Well, anyway, Jaws was on. I didn't know what it was, but my parents could not figure out the next day why I didn't want to go into the lake. I didn't understand that lakes don't have sharks. All I remember is that, but I couldn't tell them why. Why are you scared of the lake? I couldn't tell them why, because if I told them why, they'd know I was up watching the movie. Well, John Williams wrote that soundtrack. But do you realize that there's a reason behind that emotional connection? Remember the notes I sat down and played first? Remember that, and you're like, what are you doing? Right? Okay, well, these notes have tension built into them. They're right next to each other. So John Williams just rotated them. It's actually E and F. And they're right next to each other. There's tension in those notes. Music has emotional power. It communicates. What does that make you think of? What? I can't hear him. What's he saying? Oh, I'm very good. Well, you're very nice. Thank you. Let me play it again. What does this make you think of? Kids included. You can tell me. What's that? Ooh, nice. A waterfall. What else? Dreaming. Ooh, I like that. What else? Floating away, yes, like money. The Bible says money makes wings and floats. I like that. A few more. What? You just like raising your hand? That's a good habit. That's a good habit. It's all the same kind of stuff, isn't it? It's like floating. Some people will say like a memory. You know, if you're watching something or like a flashback, you know, you're sitting on the couch and all of a sudden, I remember, right? You know, there's a musical reason why it has that kind of feeling to us. Let me play you a regular scale first. Y'all are having emotional reactions all over the place. Finish the scale, right? There we go, right? There's even emotion in that. But that's a scale, regular scale. I'm not using the technical theory terminology, but okay. When I play the whole tone scale, there's no beginning, there's no ending like a regular scale. Listen to this. When am I supposed to stop it? It doesn't bother you like the other one does, right? Well, when I mush all those notes together, that's what gives you that sense of floating, right? Because there's a musical reason behind the communication that's there. And I do want to point this out too, because some people, not that you would be this way, but when I get into discussions with people, and especially online when people can hide behind a fake name, people get really bold. But people say, yeah, well, you know, music isn't an absolute thing. No, it's not. It's a general feeling. But I want to point out that nobody said hippopotamus when I was asking, what does this music make you think of? Right? Nobody said, oh, an elephant. Right? That's the picture of what music is. Music is both objective and subjective at the same time. Let me do a few more here. See if we have some musical communication. Right? Anyone know the name of that? Chariots of Fire. I remember when I was growing up in youth group, we would always use that for slow motion. Doom, 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 right? It's like that rhythmic feature is something that's like the guys who are running, right? And by the way, Ron Hamilton took that idea to put it in a different key. Anyone know this song? Yep.
When the race still lies before me and the wind is blowing strong.
Right? I think it's genius. It's like the beating of the eagle's wings, right? Now, he got criticized that with some people like, oh, well, rhythm is evil. Okay. It's like, do you want your heart to have rhythm? Yes, please. Now, you don't want your heart to either have no rhythm, and you don't want your heart to have abnormal rhythm, which we certainly have a lot of today, right? But you want it to have rhythm. In fact, rhythm, Jesus even talked about rhythm. Did you know that? When he said, when you trust Christ, he said, rivers will flow out of his belly. Do you remember that? I'm not quoting it very well, but I know that word. If you want to look it up, flow, the word for flow is the word reo. We would spell it R-H-E-O. That's where we get the word rhythm from. It literally means that rivers of living water will flow from his belly. In other words, they will pulse. They will rhythmically flow. In other words, it's a sign of health. I think in some of our churches, we get so afraid of life in music that we can err on one side where it's like, well, you know, if it gets too, you know, got to stay away from rhythm. I had a pastor ask me to come in and speak on music. Everything seemed to be okay. But then not only after I preached on music did he get up and preach another whole message on music saying things I never said. But he also said, hey, you're playing the piano too energetically. Could you calm that down? And, you know, I acquiesced because I was a guest. All right? And my job is never to cause trouble in a local church. But I'm not going back there again. Why not? Because their music was dead. We need to have life. Now, there's another ditch we can fall into, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I want to express to you, music has emotional power. How we put music together, it speaks to our emotions. No, some people say, well, Brother Ben, if you tell me how... you know, tell me the evil note out of the piano and I'll take it out. All music is neutral. It doesn't matter. Okay, well, it's just like letters in the alphabet. Show me which letter is evil and I'll take it out. Well, there's no evil letter. A cursive Z is pretty close. But no, a letter isn't wrong. Even words. There might be a few words that we would consider as evil, perhaps. You know, I could think of a few, okay, but there are even some that depend on context, like the word hell. Hell is a real place. It depends on what context you're using it, right? When you start putting it together, you have communication. That's the same way with music.
Oh, I can't pay the rent. Oh.
You pay the rent.
But I can't pay the rent, so...
I'll pay the rent for you.
My hero.
Did you like that little story? You got the damsel in distress and her music, right?
Oh,
I can't imitate a woman very well. It's probably a good thing. Then you've got the bad guy, right? And you got the hero. And then the wedding music, right? That's how my wife and I met, actually. She paid the rent. True story, actually. She paid her first month's rent. You got the music that goes. You know when you're watching television or a movie or something, you know what a soundtrack is? A soundtrack is a set of emotional instructions. It's telling you how to feel about what you see. Music not only has physical power, not only has emotional power, music has spiritual power. The Bible says the evil spirit departed from Saul. Now, I want you to realize something tonight. I could preach this for 2 hours long, all right, and go into and exegete every passage and really get into it. I do that in my book. When I preach a message like this on music, I weigh very heavily on illustration because those are things I can't put into a book, all right? So I want you to know tonight that you can go through Scripture and you can find these principles all throughout Scripture. For example, let's just do a couple here right now. How about communication? Does the Bible say anything about communication? Well, absolutely. Does the Bible talk about how we should speak to each other? Well, absolutely. In fact, in the first passage we read, he says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking with music. Well, do you think that communication the Bible's talking about only deals with the spoken word? No. Maybe that includes the written word? If I wanted to be like a Pharisee, because they were always figuring out ways around the law, right? Well, you know, I can say something mean to somebody in written word, but I didn't say it, so I'm okay. No, it doesn't work that way. Right? We've been told that up to 90% of communication is nonverbal. How many of you have ever been misunderstood over an email? Or a text, maybe? Why? There's no tone of voice there. Right? When I say something, if my face doesn't match it, you're going to doubt that I'm meaning, that I'm sincere, that I mean what I say. Music has spiritual power. In fact, I think of two places right now where music was used in worship. You say, of course music is used in worship. Okay. There's a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar who had an ego problem. He thought he was pretty hot stuff. So he decides to build himself a statue. I'm going to build myself a statue, he says, just like that. And so he starts building a statue and all this stuff, gold, this image of gold. And then he says, everybody's got to bow down and worship it. Remember that? What did they use for the cue to worship? Music. In fact, it's that list of instruments, right? One, when I was a kid, I always laughed at was the sack butt. It's so funny. You know what that was? That was a trombone. Right? That was the ancestor to the trombone. Pretty cool. In fact, when it says David played the harp, that's the ancestor to the acoustic guitar. It wasn't like an orchestral harp, you know, that he like lugged around. Okay? Like, oh man, out to the sheep again. It wasn't like that. It was like an acoustic guitar, very, very similar. But music was used in that worship service, that pagan worship service. What about when Moses goes up the mountain, remember, and he spends 40 days with the Lord, and he starts coming back down, Joshua is waiting for him halfway down the mountain. Joshua says, hey, Moses, we've got a problem. Moses says, what's going on, Joshua? He said, there's a sound of war in the camp. Moses takes a moment, he listens. What is it? What does Moses say to Joshua? That's not the sound of war. What were they doing? They were having a worship service that sounded like war. Now, some people tell me, you know, Brother Ben, you can't prove anything from Scripture on what our worship music should sound like. Well, I beg to differ for two reasons. One is that it's not supposed to sound like war. So if we've got worship music going on, unfortunately, in a lot of churches, that maybe there's a lot of sincere people, right? But their worship service sound like war. And you can't think straight. Well, guess what? They were having a service. You say, yeah, they were having a worship service to a pagan god. If you look in the context of that, Aaron says specifically, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. They thought they were worshiping Jehovah, but they were dead wrong, and music was a big part of that. The immorality going on there. The other reason, by the way, that I think we can draw some conclusions on what our worship music ought to sound like is because of the first passage we read. Singing and making monotonous rhythms in your heart to the Lord. That's not what it says. Singing and making what in your heart to the Lord? Melody. Our music for worship ought to be characterized by melody. Now that doesn't mean you can't have harmony and that you can't have rhythm, but it ought to be in balance. That's why, according to the Word of God, I don't believe that there's a place for rap music in worship. It's not because I hate people. It's not because I'm just, you know, a sourpuss that doesn't like to have fun. Right? It's because I like making people mad. And that's why. No, because where's the melody? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I just want to be biblical. Music has spiritual power. I told you the first three would match up, right? This is the fourth one. The fourth one's not going to match. I'm just warning you. Okay? Musical style is attitude. Musical style is attitude. Does the Bible ever tell us about the how we do something, not just the what? Think about that for a moment. How are we supposed to give, for example? Cheerfully. That is a qualifier. We're supposed to give in a certain way. A husband, I'm responsible. We as husbands here tonight, those of us, we know the Scripture. We ought to know the Scripture. It says we're supposed to love our wives in a certain way. Do we remember how we're supposed to love our wives? Yeah, as Christ loved the church. Ladies, if you ever think you've got a really hard time with the whole submit part, we've got to love you like Christ loved the church. Now, you say, well, I'm a very lovely person. Okay, that may be true. My wife's name is Amanda. It means easily lovable. That's a wonderful thing. But I got to tell you right now, loving her like Jesus loves the church is an impossible mark on my own, right? We've got a high measure that we have to meet. But my point is that the Bible talks a lot about not just the what, but the how. Music fits into the same category. And I want to illustrate it for you, okay? Back to the piano here. How many of you recognize this song? Raise your hand. Absolutely, The Entertainer. Do any of you remember the style that's written in? What's that? Yeah, it's really, well, honky tonk would be, you know. So honky tonk would be a subcategory of this. Good thought, though. I like that. You're obviously a musician somehow. It's technically called ragtime. Ragtime came out of march. A march is like this. Right? Feel that? It's like a square. Right? And ragtime kept that, but the word ragtime comes from ragged time, meaning the melody was syncopated or ragged. Whoop, I messed it up. Oh, I can't think. Right, those melody notes are syncopated. Now, some people think that syncopation is automatically evil. In fact, they'll use that term. Well, I don't listen to any of that syncopated music. All right, well, here's one you ought to throw out then. That's the Hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. The yah is syncopated. It's ahead of the rhythm. Syncopation is like salt on food. Right? Maybe you don't want much, maybe you want a little bit more, but you don't dump the whole salt shaker on the food, you ruin it. Same thing with the heartbeat, right? Same principle. Well, let's get back to this, because I'm going to change it on you. I want to see if you can feel it. Okay? That's the first style, what I'm playing for you. But I'm going to switch it now. Same notes, but I'm going to change the style. How many of you felt the difference? I love it when there's young people and kids even in the audience when I do these illustrations, because they can't help but like react to it. Some of you adults too. That's great. That's really good. How many of you, what's that second style? Well, I'm not really sure. Technically, it's swing. Okay? Swing takes like a march and swings it. Right? It's an attitude. Okay? First way. Second way. Right? You can feel the difference. All right. What does this mean, Brother Ben? Okay, stick with me. I want you to pretend that you have a business and you had to fire an employee for being just terribly late all the time and sloppy in his work. And so you have two applicants to fill that position. And you've asked these applicants to sing their applications. Here's the first applicant. The first applicant is going to sing his application, the first attitude or the first style that I played for you. Okay, I'm just going to make up silly words. Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. It's okay. Thank you very much. Have a seat in the lobby. We'll get in touch with you. All right, the second guy's ready. He's going to sing his application, the second attitude or style that I played for you on the piano. Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. Now, if you're a smart business person, who would you hire? The first guy. But wait a minute, they said the same thing. Yeah, but they didn't say it what? The same way. Men, let me ask you a question. I'm going to pick on you just for a moment. Particularly husbands. Does tone of voice matter? That was a funny response a little bit. Don't help them, ladies, right? The correct answer is yes, right? Oh, I love you. That dress looks good. Even that little pause in there can be critical, right? What am I talking about? What is sarcasm? Sarcasm is contradicting the words you're saying with tone of voice. If music communicates, it falls under every Bible passage that deals with communication. Right? Some people say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about musical style. It talks about attitude. It talks about arrogance. Have you seen anyone ever sing arrogantly? Yeah. The world's full of it. Right? You can even tell someone's proud sometimes on a still image. Musical style equals attitude. And as we draw to a close here, I really think that this is where we can help one another and help ourselves understand music. Because people are generally fall into two categories. And I call it, you know, ditches. One is the ditch over here that says nothing matters, you know, anything is game as long as you're comfortable with it. You know, it's kind of the meat offered to idols idea that, hey, listen, people love this kind of music. Let's just, you know, absorb it all, and we're good with that. And that's a problem because it ignores the power music has. But they would say, you know, hey, I'm not a musician. Well, yeah, I'm not an electrician, but I don't, like, stick my finger in the electrical outlet. You know, well, I'm not an electrician. Well, you don't have to understand it for it to affect you. But then there are others that fall into the other ditch, and I'm running across this too because they kind of react to each other.
And there are Christians who want to be conservative and you know, we don't want to do this type of thing. So they come over here and they want me to come up with a rule book for them. I'll get emails or calls, even texts sometimes, where people say, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I'm glad to share what I think, but I have to be careful because people can take what I think or anyone else, like Dr. Frank Garlock, who is a personal friend and mentor. He's not like the music pope. And neither am I. How do we apply this? Okay, well, start thinking about this in your life. Are there other areas of your life where you adjust what you're doing so that the message doesn't get messed up? For example, apparel. Does everybody agree all the time on what is the right clothes to wear all the time? No. But there are a few principles we can agree on, right? Is modesty taught in Scripture? Well, yes. Just because we might cut the cake a little bit differently doesn't mean that there's not a cake to be cut. Let's say I got up to preach, and with this I'll close tonight. Say I got up to preach, and I preached like this. Please indulge me for just a moment. God is holy. God is righteous. Yeah, that doesn't feel good, does it? I don't like doing that illustration, in fact. In fact, if I were to keep going, Pastor and some of the other men here are going to usher me out and say, okay, you're done. But hey, I'm saying the right thing. Remember Paul walking through the streets and there's a girl following him? And after a couple days of it, he was grieved, the Bible says, and he turns around and casts a demon out of her. Does anyone remember what she was saying? What terrible, awful thing was she saying? These men are the servants of the Most High God. Well, what's wrong with that? It was more than just the words. There was context involved. Maybe she was saying it in a mocking voice. Ha ha! These are the servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. That would have gotten old. But let me go back to the sermon illustration. Let me stretch out my words a little bit. Clearly, that's inappropriate for me to preach that way. That's not even real preaching. But let me stretch out my words a little bit. God is holy. God is right. That's still terrible. One more time. Let me stretch it out even farther. God is holy. God is righteous. Oh, that's wonderful Christian music. No, it's not. No, it's not. I just took the attitude of arrogance and nastiness and whatever you want to call it, and I infused it into the music. Listen, there are churches that would throw people out if they preach in their pulpits the way that they sing and the music they allow. And it grieves my heart. And I'm a merciful guy. My spiritual gift is mercy, along with some teaching and exhortation, all right? But it's mostly mercy. I don't like causing fights. But what I see is it is a picture of God problem. That we are not representing the character of God properly when we allow sacred message to be delivered by a wrong attitude. Hopefully this gives you some food for thought. You can probably sense that this isn't like the end of the message, okay? Because it comes in parts. So we'll talk about this more on Sunday, Lord willing. I hope this encourages you to start seeing music. Ah, yes, I can see some principles here. Music has physical power, emotional power, spiritual power, and musical style is attitude. You know, I couldn't write a book on how to understand a teenager's attitude. But you know when your teenager or your kid has an attitude, right? There's a sense there. It's the same thing with music. It doesn't mean that we're always going to make the same exact decision. But it means that we ought to be exercising discernment in this area. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for these people sacrificing of their time to be here. Lord, I pray this was a help to people to get us thinking about the kind of music that we should use when worshiping you and encouraging each other. Lord, we're not going to make identical music choices. My choices are not going to be the same as other people in this room. Other people in this room are not going to be the same as different people in the room. But Lord, our goal ought to be to represent you correctly. Help us in this endeavor, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Get a couple volunteers, men, come up for the offering. There's a couple guys that could come on up. And that's good. Fight over. That's good. That's what I'd like to see. So that was a real blessing, that message. I said I wouldn't re-preach a message after you preach. I feel like preaching and re-preaching a message. There's a lot more that could be said about that. I really appreciate you bringing those things out for us. And then doing the offering is nice because we get to hear Brother Ben play some more. And I'm wondering how in the world is he going to remember those songs?
I remember something working on. I remember two of them.
Yeah, he's gonna remember them. So we're going to enjoy him playing the offertory. And so this is the time to give. We'll take up an offering each night. And if the Lord leads to give a gift, that will be a blessing to Brother Ben and his family. I'll ask one of the men to please give a blessing on the offering.
Amen.